Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. Your financial choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. I'm employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments, member FINRA SIPC. This show is for educational purposes only. We inform you that any U.S. federal or state tax advice contained in this communication is not intended to be specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the show. Also, advice specific to your own situation, we do recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and CFP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. You can listen online at wdiy.org. Today is July 30th, 2014. The markets were mixed today. The Dow closing down at 16,880, the NASDAQ up at 4,462, and the S&P up at 1970. I would like to thank Rod Young for filling in last week. Thank you, Rod. He talked about paying attention to mid-year planning and gave a bunch of ideas for that. He does a great job, and I really thank him. I was on vacation last week, so we're going to talk a little bit about what went on there. Because tonight I want to talk about some of the financial planning topics that come up on summer vacations and how you can learn from them or improve your own planning. As you know, when we get together and go on vacations, quite often we talk about our hopes, our dreams, and sometimes we're getting together with family and all kinds of issues come up. So we're going to talk about some of that. We are live tonight. We will take your questions. Judy Ann is in the studio with us this evening, and we'll answer your calls, take your questions, and ask you to turn down your radio so that you can hear me without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. The number to call in this evening is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. You can also send questions through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. I also want to mention, if you are comfortable talking live on the radio with us, that's great, and it's a lot of fun for me, and I enjoy the back and forth. If you are not comfortable talking live on air, you can just give your question to Judy Ann, and she'll bring it into the studio, and I'll do my best to answer it. So tonight's topic, again, is financial topics that come up on summer vacations, vacations in general, get-togethers, family reunions, all such sorts of things, and the importance of being proactive versus reactive. Regular listeners hear me say that at the end of every show. Well, now I'm saying it at the beginning of the show, and hopefully we can demonstrate a little bit about the benefits of being proactive versus reactive. So I'm going to be telling some, you know, family stories tonight, and I hope family doesn't mind, but none of them live in the area, so I figure I can talk about them. Anyway, I did realize I have lots of financial planning topic opportunities before me, you know, with being with family, especially since I love to apply the key financial planning elements to the various stages of your financial life. And if you do want to listen to more on the life stages of financial planning, we do have old podcasts available on WDIY.org. You can look for the show and find some of those old shows and download them. They're also available through links on yourfinancialchoices.com. I have more people asking about podcast, so I thought I should continue to mention that. People have told me, Lori, you know, gee, I would love to listen to the show. It's not always convenient on Wednesday nights. So for those who are listening, maybe you're catching us for the first time. If it's not a time you normally are able to listen, please go to either of those websites and feel free to look at the various topics that we've covered and mention it to friends and family, because there's lots of good information. We are here as an education source to help those in the Lehigh Valley. So we like to be here and helpful in that way. So to our topic, what I had before me were multiple generations with people in every stage of their life. What I also saw before me were people making planning decisions based on emotions and some based on thought out scenarios. So, you know, being proactive, some not being so proactive, but maybe reactive. I also saw how family dynamics can spur decisions and how sometimes people don't like talking about their choices. Sometimes people like to keep things private. Maybe if they did talk about them, they might make better choices. So we're going to kind of go through some of these. So let's start with multi-generational planning. At the beach, we were in Michigan. Let me tell you a little bit about that because I love Michigan to help the tourist economy. Love Michigan if you've never been there. Lake Michigan's wonderful. It looks like the ocean when you're looking at it. It doesn't smell, tastes like salt, and there's no sharks or jellyfish or anything like that. It's just beautiful. It's a little chilly for some people. I loved it. I jumped in. I think it was probably 58 degrees at one point, and it felt exciting and nice, but it's just beautiful. So we're from Michigan, my husband and I both, so we go back, we rent a house on Lake Michigan, and that's going to be an important point as I get toward the later part of the show, talking about renting a house on Lake Michigan. We're going to bring that back in. But the families all come together. So we have a lot of family visiting. We take a couple weeks. We are there 1 week. My husband's family's there a week, and different family members and friends come in and out. So while we were there, we had the multi-generation. So we have my father-in-law is a great-grandfather now. So there was a great-grandfather and a great-grandchild. We had blended families. We had transitional families, meaning families who are transitioning maybe out of, you know, the traditional husband, wife, mother, father, children to, you know, separated, possibly divorced. We had people losing jobs, finishing college, starting college, folks moving, folks thinking of moving, college debt, retiring, just married and getting divorced. So let me start from the top down. And there's some lessons to be learned here with the great-grandfather. He's still working at 86 years old. This is my father-in-law, still working. He's a professor at Western Michigan University. They may want him to stop working, but he is still working. And I don't really know his financial situation, but I do know that he loves to work. So why not? Many of us are planning ways not to work, yet you have people like him who are continuing to work. So as long as you're still loving your work, why not? You're welcome to continue to working. So what are the implications to him for this decision? Some things you may not be aware of. One, he can still collect his full Social Security benefit at this age because he's well past full retirement age. So his full retirement age would have been probably less than 60. It was probably 65 back then. I don't know. And once you are full retirement, you can continue to work without having to pay back any of your benefits. There's some little hiccup years in there when you first start collecting. But basically, at his age, he's collecting his full retirement or his full Social Security. Now, he may have waited until age 70. I'm not sure, but he would have been entitled to waiting to age 70 to collect his Social Security if he wanted to, but he also could have started collecting at full retirement age. So at this point, he's past full retirement, but he is continuing to work. Here's something that people may not realize. He's well over age 70 and a half, and for many of you, you know that 70 and a half is an important age when you have retirement accounts such as IRAs or 401ks. At age 70 and a half, normally you have to take out required minimum distributions based on your life expectancy. But because he's still working, he's fully employed, he does not have to take his required minimum distributions from his employer plan. He's never stopped working and he's been at the same employer his whole life. So he doesn't have outside IRAs or other 401ks from other employers out there lurking, which may require that required minimum distribution. But from his 401k at work, he does not have to take a required minimum distribution. So this man is 86 years old and has never had to take out a minimum distribution out of his retirement account because he's still an employee. So that's something to remember for those folks who are continuing to work beyond age 70 and a half. You won't have required minimum distributions from your employer plan. We're already coming up to our first break. If you have questions, the phone number this evening is 610-758-8810. When we come back, we'll talk about financial planning topics that come up while you're on vacation. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Do you have vinyl albums or 45s on your shelves that are taking up space and gathering dust? Why not donate them for a good cause? WDIY will receive profits from the records, and you will receive a tax deduction. For more information or to arrange for drop-off or pickup, call 610-694-8100 extension 3 or visit WDIY.org.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about financial planning topics that come up while you're on vacation. And we started off the conversation talking about multiple generations and starting with the great-grandfather. If you have questions about anything we're talking about tonight or other questions off topic, you're welcome to give us a call. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Questions may also be submitted through yourfinancialchoices.com. So as I was mentioning, we started with the, patriarch of the family, great-grandfather, 86 years old, still working. He can collect his full Social Security, and he does not have to take required minimum distributions out of his 401k because he is continuing to be an employee. He can also still contribute to his qualified retirement account. So at work with a 401k, he might have a 403b. He can continue to contribute to his retirement account as long as he is still working. There is no age limitation like an IRA. So you can't make a contribution to an IRA at age 70 and a half because you have to take out your required minimum distributions at 70 and a half from an IRA. But if you just have a qualified retirement account and you are still working, you can avoid the RMDs and you can continue to make contributions. So the contribution amounts for 401ks for 2014 are $17,500. And if you're over age 50, you can do a catch-up contribution of $5,500 so that you can put a total of $23,000 into the 401k. So let's talk about a planning opportunity here. As I mentioned, my father-in-law is 86 years old. He is getting his Social Security monies, and he's also working. Well, if he didn't do a 401k contribution, what he would have is he would have taxable wages for his pay from his job, and he would also have Social Security payments coming in. His Social Security would get taxed based on how much other income is on his return. I assume that it's probably going to be the maximum because he's been working for a very long time. He probably makes a decent wage. So his Social Security will be included in taxable income up to 85% of it. So if his Social Security is, and I'm just making up this number, $20,000 a year, 85% of that would be included on page one of his return. So let's say he doesn't need that money for cash flow reasons. He just took it because he had to take it. He was, you know, well past full retirement age. So in comes this Social Security money he doesn't really need, and now he's paying income tax on it. Well, what he could do is if he in the past had not maybe had enough to put into a 401k, right there we found some money. So here was an opportunity if he wasn't used to getting Social Security at that time when he first started collecting, and maybe he didn't have enough money to fully fund a 401k, this is where instead of changing your lifestyle, starting to spend more, consume more, he could have simply used the Social Security money to supplement the cash flow from reduced wages going into the 401k. Okay, so you kind of just swap out the cash flow. So he could fully fund his 401k possibly with the money he was getting from the Social Security. So that's something to keep in mind, folks, as well, especially with people working more and longer as we move into our retirement years, because we have such longer life expectancies now. While some people still think about how soon can I retire, a lot of people are saying, I think I need to keep working. So if you're one of those and you're full retirement age and you're getting Social Security, it's one way to put more money into a retirement account for yourself. All right. Also, to kind of round out my discussion regarding great-grandfather or my father-in-law, is also that hopefully he has an estate plan. And I know he does, but I don't know all the details of it. But hopefully he has a good estate plan and that he has worked with his attorney to make sure that he has coordinated the estate plan. What I mean by that is it's one thing to have a will and say, I leave everything to these, you know, eight beneficiaries and think everything's going to the eight beneficiaries from your will. You have to remember that your will only controls those assets that are in your name alone. It does not control your IRAs or your joint accounts or anything, or your life insurance with beneficiary designations. Some people think that their will is the end-all, be-all. The will only controls those probate assets, those assets that are in your name alone. So when I say coordinate your estate planning, you want to make sure that what you're saying in your will is going to the people, you know, through your estate, through your executor. And if you want those same people to benefit all the way across the board, then you need to go make sure that your beneficiary designations on your retirement accounts, on your life insurance, or joint accounts are the same way. All right, so estate planning, making sure that it's all coordinated and working the way that you want. There was something else I was going to add about that. I can't think off the top of my head what it was. If I remember, I'll come back. One other point about my father-in-law is he also had a home in Germany. And several years ago, I think he was worried about, you know, how would that be administered? How would that be handled? There's, you know, he has seven children. So what would that mean for the family if something were to happen to him? So he did, you know, choose to sell that home. So if you have relatives, especially elderly relatives who have property, maybe even just in different states, let alone different countries, you want to maybe make sure you're going to have a conversation about this. So I have some, you know, questions to ask family members at the end of the show that I'll get through to kind of open the door for these kinds of conversations. One of the other cases, and I have several cases that came up, so that's what I'm going to talk about as I go through the show. One child of his was recently remarried and became part of a blended family and also became a grandparent, hence why my father-in-law is now a great-grandfather. Blended families have a whole special set of circumstances to pay attention to, and some of the planning that went along with that were housing arrangements and combining assets. There were two families, two homes, two mortgages, different equity dollar amounts in those homes. The discussion ensued with selling two homes and buying a new home to start the new family on neutral ground. So I was asked, what are my ideas about this? They were thinking if they sold both homes, then they could have a fresh start and no one would feel kind of like, you know, that they got their way, so to speak. But I kind of talked them through this whole process and found out some information about what did it mean in each of these different households, you know, whether you stayed there or left there. So one of the things we went through was real estate taxes, cost of living, cost of moving. The idea was they were going to sell both homes and move into the city. Well, right there, we were talking about higher taxes, smaller living space, higher cost of a house buying, etc. And one of the things I had suggested was, what if, you know, combined, we took a little money out of the equity of one of the homes to start with, did some upgrades, spruce up the house, change the colors, change the flooring, make it look a little fresh and new, and in lieu of selling both homes, sell one home, move, you know, one party obviously would be moving to the spruced up home, to make it feel new for both of the spouses and the children. Make it feel new so that it wouldn't feel like you were moving into, you know, the stepmother's house. So we talked about that, and there was a little bit more going on with that. Now, I'll finish that discussion when I get back. We are up to our next break. If you have questions and just want to, you know, even talk about thinking through some of the options that people have in their decision making and what goes on in vacations and family discussions about these items, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR news and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. For more information, visit wdiy.org.
And we are back with Your Financial Choices. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA and a CFP. If you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810 or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. We're talking about some of the financial planning topics that come up while you're on vacation. I'm actually using my family as guinea pigs to talk about this because it's totally fascinating to me. You know, in prior shows, I've talked about the life stages of financial planning and, you know, all the decisions that go on depending on where you are. And in those life stages, I've called them, let's see if I can remember them now, testing, nesting, investing, resting, and divesting, the stages of our life. You know, I saw it all before me while I was on vacation with all these different generations, and it's all, you know, very interesting to me. I don't know if it's interesting to the listeners, but it's very interesting to me. It's fun for me. I like, you know, kind of orchestrating some of this and kind of seeing all the options and planning opportunities that people have. And one of the things we were just talking about is my sister-in-law had recently married and into a blended family. So we were talking about how to, you know, make this work and be fair and combine, you know, assets and houses and how do you move forward as a couple? Because, you know, you've got to remember that they could, you know, go on and be married for another 30 years. So it's, there are so many moving parts with them as a couple, but also with children from previous relationships. Now, there aren't going to be any children from the current relationship, but there will be children from the prior relationships. And in fact, one of them is still in high school. But what we had talked about is the location that my sister-in-law had was, you know, really a great location. The fear was that she would feel like her husband's children wouldn't feel welcome into the home because it's her home and not, you know, they didn't get to stay in their home. They'd be moving into her home. So I was really happy that, you know, talking it through, that she was able to take some of the ideas that we talked about, thinking outside the box a little bit, you know, making the home look a little bit different, giving the kids an opportunity to participate in the decision making as well. Because one of the things we had talked about is if they had moved to a new home, they had expected that new home would be closer to the city, to kind of work areas. Right now they were commuting a little bit. But going through the thought process, living in the city was much more expensive, and they would not have as big of a house. They would not have the same kind of opportunities they have where they were currently living. So I had said to her, you know, tell the kids that if you go this direction, not only will they have, you know, newly painted rooms, new floors, it'll feel like new rooms, they also may be able to now afford new telephones for the kids. And that seemed to really, you know, strike a chord, that they could help the daughter, you know, with some of her college expenses. So you kind of have to make it work, have those conversations, you know, kind of make sure you think before reacting, because initially they were just thinking they had to get a new place because that's what was going to be fair. But it's kind of how you lay it out. So far it's worked out really well. The other thing that they did is they equalized the ownership in the home through, you know, he sold his home and she had a bit of a mortgage, and they equalized that. So they were able to pay off the mortgage with the proceeds from the other house. Now they're joint on the house and it's kind of equal equity for each of them now. So that worked out really well. The U.S. citizenship for my sister-in-law was also causing some issues with tax filings, and, you know, she decided to become a Canadian citizen. So this is another area that I find some people don't pay attention to enough or understand enough, is that when you have a difference in citizenship for spouses, or you yourself, even if you're a single person, you really need to understand the implications of being either a non-U.S. citizen or a U.S. citizen working in a foreign country. So it's a whole set of special circumstances. Don't assume anything. You really need to understand the laws to make sure you're complying. So, for example, U.S. citizens living in foreign countries, you're subject to your worldwide taxation of your worldwide income. So even though you're living in a foreign country, it does not mean you do not have to file tax returns in the United States. So you need to really make sure you understand the rules so that you don't get caught, you know, doing something that you had no intention of doing illegally or whatever. So don't make assumptions about what you think applies or doesn't apply. It could cost you big dollars in tax and or penalties or lost assets if you don't do things right. You don't want to get, you know, deported or anything. So there were lots of different elements. So we had blended families. We had citizenship issues, lots of different items there. Folks, if you have questions this evening, we can kind of go through some scenarios. It doesn't have to be on topic. It could be off topic as well. The phone number is 610-758-8810 or through the website yourfinancialchoices.com. And I also want to mention that I'm kind of just skimming across the top of a bunch of different topics tonight and giving you real-life stories of how you can go through planning discussions with your family, with your friends, with yourself, in trying to be more proactive in your decision making than reactive, and thinking outside the box a little bit. So that's what we're going through. But for more detailed discussions on various topics, we do have those available in podcasts on wdiy.org. You just have to search the programs and find those podcasts, and you might be interested, for example, in learning something particular about trust. We've done a show on that, or estate planning. We've done a show on that, retirement planning, taxes, lots of different shows. So those are available on wdiy.org, and you can download those podcasts and listen to those on your, you know, iPods or MP3s or whatever people use to listen to podcasts these days, maybe even on your computer. So those are available and hopefully helpful. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810, because I'm coming up so close to my break. I don't want to start into my next topic. I'll wait to do that, but I will be talking about a family member who's currently separated and possibly preparing for divorce and what that looks like and what you need to pay attention to in those circumstances as well. Jeff, can we start our next break? Okay, I'll be back in just a sec.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about financial planning topics that sometimes come up when we're visiting with our friends and family on vacation. It seems that that's the time when life slows down enough for us to ponder what we should be doing, looking back at what we should be doing. I just hope that if you are having those kinds of opportunities where you have moments to reflect on your financial life and your financial decisions and what you're going to do going forward, that you take that reflection but then put it into action. I don't know what always keeps people from doing things or not. You know, I was talking before the show with Jeff about dieting and exercising, and, you know, we all know what we should be doing. What keeps us from doing it is, you know, procrastination, not enough discipline, maybe. You know, we're tired. So we know, though, that whenever we do take action and do something that's better for ourselves, we always feel better. So I guess what we have to do is always kind of put that carrot in front of us, that motivation to visualize all the good things that are going to come when we do the right thing, make the right decision, whether it is about diet, exercise, or our own financial planning. So some of the scenarios that we're going through tonight are typical scenarios that I think we would find with many family members. If you have questions about anything we're talking about, the phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. So as I mentioned right before the break, I have someone in the family who is currently separated, possibly preparing for divorce. Not knowing what that will look like or how the numbers will shake out, there are decisions being made that may not be beneficial, or they may be in reaction to some assumptions. So sometimes people are afraid to talk about what's going on in their personal life, or they don't want to face it, or they think time, you know, passing will resolve it. So this is another instance where being proactive will help. And paying attention to your own situation and what you need to know. So what happened was there was some concern over splitting assets and what that was going to look like. And, you know, there's been the separation for a little bit. And I think the concern was if you continue to put money into a retirement account, that then it's going to get split. Are you just, you know, losing money by doing that? The only issue here was they were also losing money in lost matching contributions from the employer. So here was a situation where you have a retirement account, you put money into the, let's call it a 401k, and you put in 3% and the employer matches 3%. Well, if you're not putting in 3%, you don't get the 3%. Not only have you not saved money, you didn't get any money. But you say, but hey, you know, the my spouse that I'm splitting from would get half that money anyway. Well, in this scenario, the employer would be paying that half, right? So why not make sure that you at least are saving for your retirement and getting an income tax deduction for it? So you're getting an income tax deduction for the amount of money that you're putting in. So it's, you know, you don't want to take a position or make a decision based on, you know, some assumption about something. What I don't know is in Michigan how the rules work as far as divorce. If the valuation of the 401k would start with the separation or with the actual divorce and the timing of that. But regardless, the employer would still be putting in the match, but only if the only if my sister-in-law did. So you want to be careful about that type of thing. Also, I think there were some decisions about selling the house that may or may not have been warranted. So some concern about splitting assets made a quick decision to sell the home so they wouldn't have to go through that. Again, working with an attorney and an accountant, someone in the state where you're a resident of when you're going through a divorce, would be helpful to know if that is really a necessary step to take. Quite a drastic step, really. But hopefully in the end, it'll work out for them. But it's more of a reactive type of strategy than a proactive strategy. So that's what I worry about. In addition, there's a child going to college. And what are the implications of the child going to college as to whether someone, you know, they stay married, filing joint, even though they're separated, or are they going to, you know, eventually separate? Are they eventually going to divorce? What are the implications of that? So kind of thinking that through as well might help them move forward or make some decisions about, you know, what would be best for the family, because they may have assumptions that this is saving money by staying married when in fact maybe it's not, or, you know, maybe married, filing separate, or head of household. Lots of different issues there, all worth maybe hiring someone to help you through it. I had a call come in, someone from Mukunji, Albert. He said, my sister bought a house a few years ago, and the bank is foreclosing. One option she had was to just give the keys to the bank and walk away. She did. She went back to South America. Are there any ramifications to look out for in doing this? For instance, she collects Social Security. Could they take this? Well, Albert, there's a number of little complications here, which are probably, you know, I don't have all the answers to get into here, but one of the things that happens with whether this is going to go to foreclosure or short sale, I'm not sure, but if there is no equity in the home and there's a mortgage balance, and the mortgage balance is being, in essence, being forgiven. So if the mortgage is more than the value of the home, there could be some debt forgiveness, cancellation of debt. That could have income tax consequences, but there are ways that those amounts would not be subject to income tax. For example, if someone was in bankruptcy, but you don't have to necessarily be in bankruptcy to avoid taxation on cancellation of debt. If you're insolvent, meaning you have no assets, so you don't have to necessarily be in bankruptcy. So let's pretend, I'm going to give you an example, it's easier to understand. Let's say there was a cancellation of debt of $20,000. If your sister had, you know, $150,000 in the bank, and she just decided to walk away because she wanted to walk away and didn't pay it anymore, then that $20,000 probably would be income taxable because she had debt canceled. If, however, she had no assets, and maybe in this circumstance she didn't, if she had absolutely no assets, then she would be insolvent. Cancellation of debt is only taxable to the extent you have assets, you know, of that amount. So if she's insolvent, she had no assets, then the cancellation of debt wouldn't be taxable. if it was taxable, you had mentioned about the Social Security. She's getting Social Security. Social Security gets taxed based on other income on your return. So if the cancellation of debt ended up being taxable to her because she wasn't insolvent, then more of her Social Security might be taxed. But again, if she's insolvent and it's the cancellation of debt is not taxable and the only other income she has is Social Security, there may be no income tax consequence for that. As far as Social Security, I am not aware of anyone being able to take Social Security from someone. So I don't expect that to be a problem. But where there could also be an issue is if your sister has gone to South America, how is she getting her Social Security check? So she needs to notify Social Security, the Social Security office, that she's moved out of the country, because that gets a little bit more complicated. And depending on her age and what kind of Social Security it is. So she should definitely make sure she contacts Social Security, lets them know about the being in South America. But if she's insolvent, she probably doesn't have to worry about the cancellation of debt. But of course, as I say at the beginning of every show, you probably should consult a, your professional advisor, your accountant, or attorney. Okay, Albert, but I hope that gives you some framework around that. I thank you for calling in, because one of the things that sometimes happens, people get kind of immobile when they are so afraid that what they did might be a problem or cause a problem. And in this situation, your sister may have this fear that there's this big tax consequence, when in fact there may not be. And maybe she doesn't have anything to worry about. And would that change any of her decisions or, give her a different kind of approach to this? So I hope that it works out. But the big important lesson here is it's always better to understand your situation and make sure that you're going into it completely, educated, and you don't have to live in fear or worry if you kind of understand everything and make the right decisions, and maybe everything's going to be okay. All right. So thank you for calling in, Albert. So as I mentioned, we are talking about different kind of financial planning topics that come up while you're on vacation, especially with family. And we've talked about a number of scenarios. I had another one that turned out well. We were a little bit proactive here. Family member had an opportunity to take a job in California. It would mean relocating from New York City to L.A. And while the weather certainly was appealing, there were enough reasons to stay here rather than make a move that would have offered a lot of advantages as well. So what's more important than the weather? With renting being the only option for this family member in either location, the housing in New York City happens to be in a rent-controlled district. And in New York City, you also don't need a car, while you definitely need one in L.A. So while there were friends in L.A. as well, so that would be another advantage for this family member. The weather's great, lots of friends out in L.A. There were lots of family members on the East Coast, and so future travel expenses for visiting were factored in as well. So the decision was made to stay in New York City. Because, car expenses to buy a car, insure a car, gasoline for a car, and the commutes in L.A. aren't quick commutes either. And right now, this family member can walk to work, get great exercise, rent control, lots of advantages, and be near family like me. It worked out well, and the decision was made to stay in New York City, even though emotionally the lure of L.A. was, quite strong. So I think that was a great decision. And another sibling, sad to say, has a spouse with cancer, and they have an 8-year-old daughter, and both are recently unemployed, and they moved to be near a family. So both also, by the way, even though they're currently unemployed, both were and have always been gainfully employed. So this is an example of life throwing curveballs, and these poor folks got lots of curveballs. But their attitude is astounding and always positive. And luckily, they have insurance through Cobra. And luckily also will have insurance once the Cobra runs out, because insurance companies will not be able to turn them away because of pre-existing conditions under the Affordable Care Act. This becomes a very important feature when it strikes you personally. So be aware that there are opportunities for extended insurance coverage if you can afford it. Luckily for them, they have reserves on the side, probably from working for so long, and had no children for a very long time. They had children later in life. So they were able to save money and kind of get through this bumpy period. So we have to put out lots of good thoughts that they can find some employment, at least one of them, because the other... the spouse with the cancer, it's not good. So you just kind of have to make sure that you are also taking care of yourself and your family and all of that too. But life can throw you lots of curveballs, so we like you to have your emergency reserve. So that's the lesson for this. Emergency reserves, also making sure you have your insurance coverage. Jeff, is it time for our last break? Yeah. Folks, if you have questions, I appreciate them. The phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY Allentown, 88.1 FM and WDIY.org, serving the Lehigh Valley. Now, back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Folks, if you have questions this evening, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're talking about financial planning topics that come up while you're visiting family on vacation, or you're just on your own having vacation and mulling all these ideas through your head. And I'll give you another example close to home. My own daughter was married last year, and at that time, her and her husband were making decisions about jobs and education. They were living in New York City when my daughter found out that she was accepted into a grad school in Chicago. Their initial thoughts were to have her husband find a job in Chicago. So what do you think the mother-in-law said? The mother-in-law being me, said, no, you can't go to Chicago, son-in-law. You have to stay in New York City and keep working. So what was the decision on that? Here, what a mean person I am. They had just been married, newlyweds. Oh my gosh, how could they, be apart? Well, at the time they got married, they actually didn't know where my daughter was going to be going to grad school. And I think they thought it could work out that it would be New York. And unfortunately, it didn't. But she got into a great school in Chicago. So off she went, because I had said, my son-in-law had, obtained a position in New York City. And he had been there just over a year when they found out about the graduate school in Chicago. And I had said, really, and again, if you listen to any of the old podcasts, when I talk about the testing stage, this is setting your future up, recent college graduates. Your future is going to springboard off of some of your initial decisions fresh out of college as to job stability, job performance, raises, promotions, that type of thing. To have an opportunity, first of all, to have a job right out of college, and then to realize the importance of staying with a position long enough to show growth and expertise, and that you're committed to a job no matter how hard it is. If you can stick with a new job for 2 years, that looks great on a resume. I hire people. I have hired people in the past. I'm looking at that. So he showed that he was at a job for 2 years. That's why I told him he had to stay. And because the other thought was, if he were to move to Chicago, and what if my daughter didn't like Chicago, or she finished grad school, the program was done in a year, if she ended up leaving Chicago, and then he'd have to find another whole, you know, a new job again. So it worked out very well. They were able to see each other every month through, you know, different visiting. He stayed with his job for 2 years. She finished school. It worked out very well. And guess what? After 2 years, he applied for another job in New York City with another very well-known company, and he got the job. And I think it had to do with him showing that he could stay in a position for 2 years in a very competitive industry. And he worked for very well-known companies in the financial services world, and he did an excellent job, and now he has another excellent job. So I'm very proud of him for doing that. And they got through it. So it was a little hardship temporarily, but they did it, and now they're doing very well. My daughter's back in New York City. Now she's having to look for work because their next decision is, while she came out of her undergrad without any student loans, she did take a student loan for her grad work. And my son-in-law, I've raised him so well, said that she needs to get a job, and her job is going to be totally dedicated to paying off the student loan ASAP. And by the way, he is 24 years old and contributing to his 401k quite nicely. So young people, another lesson to be learned from these examples is starting to contribute to your retirement accounts as soon as you can. Just get in that habit. You don't pay attention to it, and one day you wake up and you've got lots of money. I think Rod talked about that last week as well. So lastly, my big dream, this is where I'm going to talk about myself, to own a home near or on Lake Michigan, for me to have a place to go in the summer when I retire. I think I've decided, you know, I'll probably keep my residency in Pennsylvania because you know, they don't tax retirement accounts here. So another lesson, pay attention to the states you live in when you retire and how your retirement accounts are going to get taxed. But I always want to buy a house on Lake Michigan or near Lake Michigan. Luckily for me, the houses on Lake Michigan are way outside my price range. So that's the only thing that's helping me resist these impulses because I can't afford them. But it's amazing to me when I see people walk in, you know, to my office sometimes, and the properties that they own with the amount of money they make. Like, I think I couldn't afford some of these houses, and I see people who make much less than me affording houses much more than what I have. So then I think, oh gosh, could I afford that house in Lake Michigan? But anyway, I do think about this every year, and I've not taken that plunge into real estate like I take the plunge into Lake Michigan when it's 58 degrees. I just jump in. I love it. But anyways, so we were visiting with some friends of ours who do have a summer home there, and they told us, why don't we just rent? So I'm thinking, okay, here we have a couple that has a condo there, and they have another home, and they're telling us, geez, you rent this house. It's a great house. As long as you can keep renting this house, why would you want to buy? Well, you know, so then my thought is, well, you know, you start it while you're young, and you can have years to kind of build up some equity so that when you retire, you know, maybe you rent it while you're young, and then when you retire, you'll be able to go there all summer. And of course, I want to buy a really big house because I have so much family. My husband and I both have huge families. So we're telling our friends, yes, well, we need a house. You know, the house we rent has 7 bedrooms. We need at least probably 4 bedrooms and space to, you know, put all these family members. And here again, they say to us, well, you can buy a small house to be there all summer long and rent something when the family comes in. Rent the big house with the 7 bedrooms when the family comes in. So I'm just laughing because I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm a financial planner, and I even get caught up in, you know, kind of the dreams that we have. And of course, I can dream. I don't go react, but, and I do try to be proactive, of course, but it's interesting to me that just kind of having these conversations on vacation, the perspectives that you can get from other people. I do always caution people to be careful of what you hear your neighbor say or what the, you know, your coworker says, that you want to make sure, because we're all very individual. We all have very different circumstances, and some of those circumstances we don't share with all of our friends. So you do want to do your own planning, but it's just interesting sometimes to get other people's perspectives. I think so many people are so private these days, and of course there are so many people who are not private at all, but so many people are private these days, they don't like to share. But it's just so powerful to get kind of the advice or counsel from those closest to you who know you the best, who can help you think through some of these decisions you're making. So I think our friends had great advice. Now, you know, then you say, well, why do they have two homes? Well, they actually happened to have received an inheritance. And this was very many years ago. And they had been visiting us in Holland at the time and thought it was just the most lovely place. So with their inheritance, they went and bought a condo so that they could be at this lovely place that we introduced them to. So for them, though, they're from Michigan, and they only live 2 hours from their summer home, so they can go there every weekend. You know, we're 11 hours away, so it's not as practical anyway. So, you know, I started running the numbers of what it would look like to rent, you know, for all summer. And I'm thinking, gosh, maybe the returns you can get on your investment could pay for the summer rental even. You might not ever have to buy a house. So that was kind of interesting and well worth it. It was a great vacation. So let me close the show with some family conversation pieces that I picked up from a prior show that I had done. And some of these family conversations might look like this. Hey, Mom and Dad, have you and Dad thought about what might happen if either of you need nursing home care? What will that look like? Can you afford it? Have you seen an attorney? Do you need to do some estate planning? Is there anything that Mom or Dad want the family to retain? Land, antiques, jewelry, special paintings? If so, have they discussed it with their attorney and alerted the family members to that? Hey, sis, will you be the guardian of my children if anything happens to us? Or a sibling may come to you. Be prepared to have conversations that in the remote chance that this should happen, what are the financial obligations going to look like? Is there life insurance or assets there to support that child or children? Healthcare directives. If you named a sibling or parent or child to be your agent, do they know this? Are they local? Are they going to be there to be able to help you? Have you updated your documents to current law? Who is going to be your executor? What are their responsibilities? So those are some of the questions and conversation pieces you can have when you're at that time when you can be reflective and think about your financial life, because these are topics and questions that we're all going to have at some point. And rather than being reactive, it's always better to be proactive. Make sure you know what your situation is. Do your financial inventory of all your assets, your liabilities. Make sure you're present in the moment in your financial decisions. Make sure that you're getting good counsel and advice from those around you who know you best, who love you, your professionals, your CPA, your financial planners, your attorneys. It helps. It makes a difference. Don't make assumptions about your financial planning. Don't make assumptions about your decisions. Like, you know, in our example earlier, when Albert called, his sister, you know, may have feared that she was going to have some severe consequence from walking away from her house. That's probably not the reason she went back home to South America, but you never know. It's always better to know what you're dealing with. So those are some of the conversations we have. I hope that anyone who has yet to take their vacation in the summer has a wonderful vacation. I am still in my chill mode from vacation, and I have to kind of ramp back up and kind of plug back into work. But I hope that for people who are traveling yet too, that they have safe travels and that your vacations are wonderful, lovely, and refreshing. So we do have so many things to talk about on the show each week. I hope you have the opportunity to tune in and that you learn something from listening. Podcasts are available on wdiy.org. And if you find the show interesting and informative and educational, which is our goal here, you're welcome to share the link and the website with those around you, your family and friends. And you don't even have to be in the area to go on the website to listen to those old podcasts. So next week, I am going to talk about, so you have inherited property. Now what? What are your planning opportunities on inherited property? What do you have to know about? I get lots of questions about that. So we're going to talk about that next week. I want to thank our listeners. Thank you for calling in, Albert. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Judy Ann. And who's coming up next? Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive. Make the best of your financial choices and have a great week.